Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22, please. Proverbs chapter 22. This morning, we're going to read about the prudent person. The prudent person. When you find your place, if you're able to, I'd ask that you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 22, 1 through 5. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear me, Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us to be prudent, to set up the conditions that we would be prudent. Lord, that we would be humble, we'd be open to instruction and reproof, that we would be discerning, that we would discern the spirits, that we would not be hasty of spirit, but that we would look for the snares that Satan tries to place along our path. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us from your word, and we ask that you be with any that would be here but cannot be here. We pray that you would bless them and give them a spiritual blessing today. And for those that are coming a little later, we ask that you give them safety on the roads. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. We've already looked at verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And we talked about the fact that it's not about how your name sounds, what it means, but rather it's about who you have grown into. Who people, when they hear your name, who they associate you with. And you might say, well, you know, I got this past, and that's how people might associate me. You know what? Even if that is the case, even if you had the life of a rebel before you came to Christ, you can be a great testimony. I've mentioned before a friend of mine who used to be a jockey. And he rode horses, and I think he also did the carts, the two-wheeled sulkies. And it was a field you didn't want to be in, I mean, for a Christian, because of the gambling, the type of atmosphere that people are around, you know, the smoking, the drinking, and he was a drunkard. And you know, I met someone in one of my patients in the ambulance who also was from that lifestyle and who was still in it. And I said, you know, I have got this friend who used to be in that. And I told him the name, and he goes, oh, I know him well. He said, boy, when he met Jesus, or whatever term he used, he says, that man changed. He was a different person. He said, there'd be times when we would use God's name in vain, and he and this man would stop us and say, you know, that offends me. He goes, he really changed. So even if a person led a wicked life before, God can change that person. And that person could be a great testimony. Now, let's not get the idea of, well, you know, I need to live a wicked life so that I can be a glowing testimony for the Lord. Even better yet is someone who has been able to get saved at a young age and stay clear of those types of vices. But God uses every person if they're walking obedience to him. So the name, how do people associate you now? What do people think of you when they hear your name? Do you glorify Christ with your name because of the person you are? And we talked about how God's character, his holiness, his justice, his loving kindness, is all tied up in his name. So when we think of his name, it is automatically tied to those attributes. And we trust in the name of the Lord, right? So a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Where do we get our loving favor, the believer? Well, we Our primary source is from God. I mean, the Lord allows people and puts people into our lives that gives us loving favor. But ultimately, it is the Lord where we get loving favor. More important, more precious than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. We talked about how God values the rich and the poor the same. We talked about the redemption of the soul and the price was the same in the Old Testament that they had to pay, which was a token of the importance, the fact that God did not require more of the rich and less of the poor because he valued them the same. And so it ought to give us an appreciation for those who potentially are poor or poorer than we are, and we ought to esteem them just as important as ourselves, because the Lord is the maker of them all. Now we get into verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? And you know, you might think, well, why would he hide himself? If he's a courageous man, a man that's putting his faith and trust in God, why would he hide himself? And you might think to Nehemiah when he's building the walls around Jerusalem with his men, and someone comes to him and says, oh, they're going to, you know, that your enemies are going to ambush you. Go into the temple and hide yourself. And he says, why would I do that? Why would I hide myself? For one, going into the temple would have been off limits to him, not being a Levite. And two, why would he allow them to cause fear in his heart, right? But that's balanced. In the life of the believer, we balance safety. We have to be cautious about safety. I've mentioned before how, you know, where we live here in town, you have to exercise, you got to have, you know, safety measures. I mean, even just like a week and a half ago, we had an unsavory character come to our side door. We don't know what he wanted, but I wasn't there, and he knocked on the door, and we have a rule, which was not followed this time, but we have a rule: if the children are going to open that door, they got to peep through the hole and see if. And one of the children thought Daddy was coming home, and it wasn't Daddy. And, you know, just opened the door open, and there's that guy. You know, they were a little stunned. And then one of the other children was looking out the window and said, don't open the door, it's a bad guy. And, you know, and they closed the door and locked it. And Emily watched out the window after that happened and saw him poking his head through our trailer. He was welcome to any of that stuff. It was going to the dump or Cinnamon Ridge anyway. So, but this guy was an unsavory character. He was not up to any good, whatever the case was. And just thank the Lord that the Lord gave us safety. But, you know, I've taught my children, you know, what to do, to look through that peephole. You know, or if they can't see the peephole, you know, say who's there, you know. And there's times when they're allowed to do that and times when they're not, right? So that's a measure of safety that you take. And, you know, we've got to be discerning. It's not about having a spirit of fear. Having my door locked, you know, does not cause me to fear. It doesn't necessarily cause me to be overly confident either. I'm just taking a safety measure. I'm just being careful. So the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And again, some of you, I know some of you live out in the wilderness and you know, your closest neighbors, you know, 30 miles away, 10 miles away, 2 miles, whatever. And you know, that's something not to be concerned about, right? I'd love that. But where you are, you have to evaluate the danger around you. My dad gave an example just recently about how when they were down in Mexico and how mom was walking the dog. And, you know, as he was driving along, he saw these characters coming. And One of them smashed a bottle. Well, you know, they weren't up to any good. You know, they weren't going crab fishing with that bottle, or, you know, they were up to no good, and so they left. Dad had a plan, and he followed the plan, and they left. So you always keep an eye out for danger. So the prudent man. The word prudent, as defined by Webster's 1828 dictionary, is a cautious, circumspect. Circumspect means looking all about 380 degrees. You know, we were at the wildlife park the other day, and some of those owls, they might not be able to do a full 360, but they sure look like they can. You know, you see that head, those eyes disappear, and I was saying to Emily, I said, don't you wish you had eyes like that as a mother? But to be able to see all around. You know, it's the same thing when you're driving, right? When you drive, that sometimes is a problem as we age, and sometimes we get we get stiffness in our neck, or a dizziness, and so we start to go like this. I remember Brother Weaver, you know, he was so upset when they took his driver's license away, and he said, that driver examiner, he said I didn't show the check, but I was looking out of the corner of my eyes. When we're driving, we have to be circumspect. It can't be just looking out of the corner of our eyes, right? But the prudent person is circumspect. So cautious, circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of enterprises, measures or actions, cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probable impracticability. The prudent man looks well to his going, Proverbs 14. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, from our text, Proverbs 22. One, dictated or directed by prudence as prudent behavior. Two, foreseeing by instinct or the prudent crane, as the prudent crane. Frugal, economical, as a prudent woman. Prudent expenditures of money, wise, intelligent. So foreseeing evil. There's some conditions that apply to being prudent. It's not something you're born with. It's not a gene. It's something where there are conditions we have to meet. One of the conditions is being humble, because that applies to the next condition, which is accepting instruction. Accepting reproof. If we're not willing to accept instruction, we're not willing to accept reproof, we will be headstrong and we'll take our own pathway. And we will suffer the consequences of it. Prudence is a learned trait, learned both from God's word and also from those that are seeking to give us wisdom. So humility. A willingness to learn, willingness to be admonished, and a spirit that is not hasty. You know, if we are hasty to make a decision, and we just are like snap, 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 gotta make a decision. Don't like being in limbo. I mean, I don't like being in limbo. I don't think any of us do. You come to a crossroads and you know a decision has to be made, and you just want to go, I want to make a decision. But that's being hasty. So a prudent spirit is not hasty to make a decision. Quite often we get into situations where there's stress, there's turmoil, and we want out of something, and so we make a decision. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, I don't like what's going on here. This is stressful. Lord, take away the stress. And Lord, I'm gonna rest on you now for direction. I'm gonna look for your direction. The person that is hasty in spirit is not prudent. sometimes they land on the right side of the right decision, but oftentimes they do not. And so just resting on the Lord and not being hasty and looking for prudence and saying, okay, Lord, show me the path. Make the path clear. Let's take a look at some verses. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. And remember, why are we, what's the goal here? Remember, our text talks about snares. Satan's got snares all over the place for us. Most of us probably have not had a great deal of experience with snares. Some maybe have. Maybe you know, they got into snaring rabbits or other animals. But you know, there's a wide assortment of different kinds of snares that hunters, trappers would use. And Satan is very artful. He's had thousands of years to refine his techniques. You and I are newcomers. I mean, of course, we have, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is greater than he that is in the world. But Satan is so good at putting snares down that you and I have a hard time seeing with our own instincts. And so that's why it goes beyond instincts. That's why it goes to the Holy Spirit and having the right spirit within us, where we are looking, where we're diligent, we're circumspect. 1 Peter 5:16, just to capture a thought that is about to leave my mind. In that definition on prudence, was careful of the consequences of enterprises. One another condition of having a prudent spirit is looking at the end result of a decision. And sometimes you say, well, that's hard to predict. Well, oftentimes it's actually not as hard as we think it is. And oftentimes we can look at others who made similar decisions. And oftentimes, if we get into our Bible, the Lord will direct us to examples in Scripture where people were at a crossroads similar to ours. It might be different. It might be very similar. And then we can look at, well, what happened to them? What was the outcome of that decision? So looking at the outcome, the logical end conclusion of a matter, that will bring us very far towards being prudent. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. Verse 15. The simple, believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. So the simple believeth every word. You know, they're told something, and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man says, okay. Let me weigh what I just heard, what I just read. Let me just weigh that and see whether it balances with what I know to be true. Again, it's just like going back to when I was doing organic chemistry and how we were given chemicals that we had or substances that we had to identify. And you would do things like weigh things and you know, check its boiling point and, you know, various things to determine what it was. And you were evaluating that substance by a chart of known values. And then you would work your way down to, okay, this is what it is. It's this chemical. It's this substance. Well, same thing with when we're given something that's supposedly true, we balance it with the Word of God. The Word of God is the yardstick. The neat thing about the Word of God is it's already calibrated. You know, some of us have different tools, and we have to calibrate it, right? You know, you might have a saw, a chop saw, a miter saw, and you've got to take and calibrate that that angle on that blade. I've had it before where you're doing some fine woodworking, and you're cutting molding, and it looks good. You cut it to the eye, it looks square. And then you put two pieces together on a corner, and there's a hole there, and you're like, what happened? It wasn't calibrated properly, or maybe your wall, more often than not, maybe your wall isn't straight. But we have to calibrate things often in life. Well, we don't have to calibrate this. We calibrate our life to this. You know, my salt water tank, I have this device I use you hold it up to the sun, and you put a drop of salt down, salt water from your tank in there, you look it up, and it shows exactly where it's supposed to be. But then you can't always trust that machine. You've actually got to go and test it with a substance that has a known molecular weight, and you look at it, and then you adjust it, and then you check your salt content again. So you calibrate by the word of God. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man, isn't that they suspicious of everything, but he tries the spirits. He or she, man or woman, they try the spirits. They're like, okay, Lord, is this true? Is it partially true? And sometimes someone gives you some information, and they think it's the truth, and sometimes it's partially true. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because sometimes there is truth to it. And we have to evaluate it before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, is there truth in this situation? Okay, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Very similar to our text, isn't it? Pretty much identical. So the prudent man foreseeth the evil. He looks ahead and he's like, oh, wait a second. You know, there's a landslide that's come down the road. I can't take that road. I'm going to end up down in the, you know, like for instance, there's a landslide right now that highways departments are dealing with south of Vernon in the Lake Country area that's washed out some of the road. There's other areas down by Karamias. So we can't send our ambulances through there. It's kind of a bit of a problem. But, you know, so the prudent man looks and says, oh, no, there's danger. Stop, turn around, take a different route. Okay. Exodus chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. Exodus 9. 20 and 21. This is, you got to wonder how many Egyptians heard what God was going to do, that 10th plague. You've got to wonder how many actually were prudent and said, wow, the God of the Israelites is more powerful than our gods combined. We've just heard what he's planning for the 10th plague. Let's do what he said to do. You've got to wonder if any did. Well, you would believe from these verses that some did. So, this is right kind of in the middle of the, this isn't the 10th plague, this is the plague of hail. So, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So they heard what God was going to do, and they some of them said, "Okay, all right, let's get our cattle into the houses or in the barns, and hide them from what was going to happen." Those were prudent, and some said, "Yeah, whatever," and they lost their animals. Jumping into the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Start verse 1. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. As believers, we are to be watching and to be sober, so that the day of the Lord does not come as a thief in the night. You think, going back to the World War II, and there were some very discerning Jews that saw the evil that was coming, and they left. Some tried to leave and could not get the proper exit permits, but some said, you know what, I've amassed a fortune, and yet the Nazis had a 100% tax on taking money out of the country. If you were going to try to take money out, it was going to be confiscated, and you would be imprisoned. And so some of them said, you know what, my life's and the life of my family is worth more than my wealth. I'm leaving it behind. We are fleeing. And they left. And some were able to do it. Some were not, and some were able to just send maybe their son or, you know, a couple of their children. They had the prudence to see the danger that was coming. And others said, it's okay. It'll be a little rough, but, you know, we'll manage. And they didn't. And they were marched off to the concentration camps. So we're not to be asleep as others do, but to watch, be sober, be vigilant. Going back into our text, we see that the result of what happens to those that are not diligent. So the person who is not diligent, as we read in, I think it was Proverbs 14 there, is the simple person who believes every word. And they do not foresee the danger that's coming. So let's take a look at our verse here. A prudent man, verse 3, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. That prudent person is not being a wimp, is not being weak-minded. That prudent person is taking actions now that will protect them and their family. They're not a weakling. Just in the same way as, like I mentioned, with, you know, locking your doors and taking those kinds of measures, simple safety measures to protect oneself and one's family. But the simple pass on and are punished. And, you know, and when we read in Scripture about the simple, we see two main categories. One category is the person who is simply just unlearned. They're maybe young. They're innocent. They're naive. They look at this world through different lenses, lenses that are colored by their ambitions, their desires, their wishes for this world. Sometimes people go very far in the opposite end, where they are very skeptical, very pessimistic. And every good thing, even the good things in life, they view with skepticism. And it has a double meaning. I've had those types of conversations with people, and I'm like, wow, look at this great thing. Oh, yeah? Did you ever think of this? Oh, you just kind of ruined that for me. I mean, it is wise to think through a situation. That is part of being prudent. But we ought not to be pessimistic about everything, and particularly about the good things and about the truth. So, two categories of the simple. One is the person who has not been instructed. And then the other category are those that have been instructed but will not hear, will not listen. Say, nope, not interested. And they have deliberately become stubborn. You know, that word that we looked at, recently, I think it was on Sunday of last week, brutish. They've become, a brute. And it means simple-minded. Not like the Christian is told to be simple-minded towards evil, where we intentionally do not fill our mind with what is going on out there. We don't dig into all the details of sin. But we are to be discerning about what is true, what's error. And we see what happens to those that are simple. They pass on and are punished. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 7. Now, this is a specific sort of a... simpleton. You know, it's Proverbs 7, chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding. Passing through the streets near her corner, that's near the harlot's corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman in the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at the corner. You know, and it goes on to talk about how she caught him and kissed him, and she's trying to seduce him. And we pick it up in verse 22. He goeth after her straightway. Well, in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forceth him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is as the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That simple person, void of understanding, that man probably was not taught to beware of that sin. But he would have had enough knowledge to know that it was wrong. Him being simple doesn't make it any less sinful. It was still sinful for him. Somewhere along the way, he had probably turned down instruction in that area. The simple pass on and are punished. One last verse here. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 16, we read, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that our guests are in the depths of hell." Similar verse to what we just read in chapter 7. So let's be prudent, because there are snares littered all around us. You know, Satan, he's got all these little snares, these little trip mines all over the place. You know, just like in warfare, some mines are meant to their anti-personnel. And some of them are not even meant to kill a person. They're maybe meant to disable their legs. So that now instead of one person being dead, you now have someone that has to be carried off the battlefield by two other people. So now you've just taken three people off the battlefield. And Satan has so many different ways of conducting his warfare. Let's be discerning. Let's not be hasty in spirit. Let's be open to instruction and admonition. Let's be humble. And let's look for the logical end conclusion of a matter before we make a decision, before we take that step, because it could be our last. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we pray that each one of us would be prudent. We would set the conditions right so that we would not fall for any of Satan's mines, his tripwires, his snares, his traps, that you would protect us, that we would not be simpletons, that we would not make rash decisions based on our emotions or the circumstances, but Lord, that we would sit quiet and wait for direction from you. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we go into our morning worship service. Speak to our hearts. Meet everyone's need where they're located, Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take about a 6 or 7 minute break before the morning worship service.